Just as it's been with most every recent election, the economy is one of the top issues among we the people. Of course, the claim by those out of office say, boy, the economy is garbage. Need change. Need to get things fixed. We're on the cusp. We're on the brink. We're on the ledge ready to fall off. Thought we'd look at the actual numbers, see if those claims are true. Look at the most recent GDP report. U.S. economy grew at a pace of 2.8% in the past quarter. Greatest force behind that growth, get ready for this one, consumer spending. Forecasters expected our gross domestic product, which, by the way, that's total value of goods and services produced in the U.S. They were calling for it to come in at 2.6% in the latest three-month period. Consumer confidence, that's really just exploded in October. Highest level since January of 2024, that according to the conference board. So that could be a signal that households are going to continue spending, which is obviously a key to any economic growth. Sure, this time of year, the retail stores will be happy to hear that prediction, prognostication. According to analysts at PNC Financial Services Group, they said in a report, the percent of consumers expecting a recession in the next 12 months, that dropped to its lowest number since the question was first posed in July 2022. Just under two-thirds of respondents believing that a recession is either somewhat or very likely in the next 12 months. Domestic demand strong in the quarter, driven by consumer spending, as I said, as well as investment in business equipment. This from Fitch Ratings, with consumer spending growth north of 3.5%, the U.S. consumer is not showing any hint of a slowdown. Far from it, with an economy this strong, it's difficult to imagine that labor market conditions will deteriorate sharply over the near term. How about we expand the economic outlook to a global view? This according to the International Monetary Fund, the U.S. economy will continue to provide most of the thrust for global growth through the balance of this year and in 2025, led by robust consumer spending that's held up through a wrenching bout of inflation and the high interest rates used to tame it. The IMF revised its 2024 U.S. growth forecast upward by 0.2 percentage point, puts at 2.8%. That's due largely to stronger than expected consumption, fueled by rising wages and asset prices. They also upgraded their 2025 U.S. growth outlook by 0.3 percentage point to 2.2%. But as comparison, the IMF cut China's 2024 growth rate by 0.2 point. Germany will see zero growth this year. That's a markdown 0.2 percentage point. Their manufacturing sector continues to have troubles. When it comes to tariffs, the IMF is not exactly fans of tariffs. They don't see that as any tool for economic growth. The report flagged the potential for major tariff increases and retaliatory measures, saying that it would reduce the overall global GDP output by 0.8% in 2025 and by 1.3% in 2026. Immigration, that's another big topic. With each and every election, this one no exception. How does this idea sound to you? A new emergency authority that would allow the Department of Homeland Security to shut down the border if there are too many migrants trying to cross. DHS could close the border if Border Patrol encounters 4,000 or more migrants on average over 7 days. Border would then have to be shut down if those encounters reached a 7-day average of 5,000 or if they exceeded 8,500 in a single day. Now, the border couldn't be shut down under this authority for more than 270 days in the first year, and the bill would give the president the power to suspend a border closure on an emergency basis for up to 45 days if it is in the national interest, as they would say. During an emergency closure, Border Patrol would still need to process a minimum of 1,400 migrants who do try to enter the U.S. legally through ports of entry. Only unaccompanied minors will be able to cross between ports of entry, and any migrant who tried to cross illegally two or more times during a border emergency would be barred from the U.S. for a year. Oh, but there's more. This bill would also end the practice of catch and release, a sore point in most debates about immigration. The bill would allow migrants who come to the border through lawful ports of entry and families to enter the U.S. under federal supervision for 90 days, while they complete asylum interviews. Those who pass would receive work permits as they await adjudication of their claims. Those who fail would be removed from the U.S. and sent back to their home countries or to Mexico. Bill mandates detaining migrants who try to enter the U.S. outside of official ports of entry. Pending any asylum claims, those who fail would also be removed. This also raises the credible fear standard during interviews for asylum claims, largely by putting up consideration of whether migrants have disqualifying criminal histories, whether they lived safely in third countries before trying to cross into the U.S., and whether they could safely relocate within their own countries. And the bill would also add new flexibility for U.S. citizenship and immigration services, Immigration and Customs Enforcement and Customs and Border Patrol, to make new hires, seek to address staffing shortages, changes in hiring authorities. They're all set to sunset in the next few years, so they would have to be renewed. Sounds great, doesn't it? Sounds like a lot of answers to our concerns and troubles regarding immigration, both legal and illegal. That bill could have been law. That was the bill in detail, and then there's more. Don't need to go into the whole thing, but you kind of get the point. That was the bill that was killed by Senate Republicans back in May. Vote of 50 nays, 43 yeas, 7 not voting.